forces during World War I.
Do you still feel those same urges? Do you still feel that compulsion, that obsession?
I wish I could say that it just left completely, but no, there are times when I still do have the old compulsions.
You can feel the rage of men.
Hundreds of police were injured last night and more than 900 people arrested.
As UN peacekeepers stand aside, Rwandan soldiers and Hutu militia hunt the Tutsis. Some people are shot, but many more are killed with clubs, sticks and machetes.
The world will be beautiful without us.
That was Failed Fates, this week's guest on the Worst Little Podcast.
Who wants to be famous?
The biggest little city in the world, the American cradle of liberty.
Look at you! You're a freak!
What are we alive for except to grab all the kicks we can? To contaminate our society.
Now being renovated.
Uncle Nick.
Podcasting live from the recent past in the Dogwater Studios, high above the UNR campus, that major blockage on Arlington Road, and what is going on this month? Is it August still? Isn't the motorcycles coming soon? That's gonna suck. Cadillac Kent, Kim's here, Dogwater Dick's here. We got the band Failed Fates with us.
On the Worst Little Podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
So that's cool.
It's the balloon races.
I was going to say races. Burning Man. You didn't mention
the
monsoons.
That's what it was. That's what I was going to say, Burning Man.
And all those poor fuckers getting rained on out there.
Another intro ruined.
Definitely not ruined. Never ruined.
It still hit the post.
Well, so yeah, that's what really matters.
It's a keeper.
Yeah. That's what counts.
So how's it going, Failed Fates?
Good. How is everybody?
Doing good. Let's go around the room and get your names and what you do. Yeah. And I could write it down here on my telephone while I'm taking notes.
Sure. I'm Madi. I do...
What?
Madi. That's my name.
How do you spell it?
M-A-D-I.
Madi.
And then I do rhythm guitars and for Phil.
And lead.
And lead guitar and...
I used to do bass.
And bass. I used to do bass.
Well, now I'm getting confused.
A little bit of everything. Right? Tom and I trade off on leads and rhythms and stuff like that, so... I just do guitars. We'll just say that.
Just guitars.
But if I can interject real quick, Tom, he was our three piece, so he was the bass player when we were three piece. A couple years.
That's
ago.
That's why it's confusing. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm Tom. I play guitars and I scream.
And Tom poorly. Has been on the show before.
This is my fourth visit.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yep.
With his
third
and
visit.
You still
third
came back?
Visit. For, yeah. Right. Third visit, fourth time I've been on. Since that one time we did the Zoom.
Yes, that's right.
During COVID.
A new band every time he comes on.
And literally every time. something else to like watch burn.
Wow.
It's got a nice glow to it. It's
yeah,
cool.
Right?
Eric, I play drums and take Tom's shit.
Apparently. Yep, pretty much.
Eric with a C or a K?
It's just a C.
Okay. Just a C.
Sure. Just standard C. Eric.
Yeah.
Just
standard. Not that special.
He's the Ericest Eric you ever met.
Q-U-E.
I think Eric's with a K are compensating.
Did you say you're the drummer?
I agree.
Compensating for something.
Yeah. Nice. Me too. I love the drums, dude.
Heck yeah.
Yes.
It's fun.
That makes you the bass player. What's your name?
My name is Michael. I'm the bass player. I'm new, and I'm just happy to be here.
Welcome.
So, thank you.
He's newish.
Yeah.
Well, we're also happy to have you here.
Yes. Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
How did you four hook up?
Well, let's
do the music, not the other thing. I don't care about that.
There's been so much.
I'm married to
an Eric thing.
It's like the third fucking time that something happened that I was like, oh, we need to have the...
Sexually.
Let's get into it.
It's been a while.
Yeah. I could give you a
that's what she said.
Well, Eric and I have known each other for a long time. We've played in a couple other bands before.
Mm-hmm. Which could be nothing.
It is nothing. But.
Could mean something.
It could. We've known each other for what, 12 years? No.
About 12 years.
About 12 years.
Yeah. What other bands did you play in together?
We played, he was the drummer for the Habituals for.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Love that band. Yeah.
And then awesome. he was also the drummer for Ugly Orphans, our last band.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Gotten a little better. Not much, but a little.
He's I don't
gotten,
know if they ever caught him.
He's
an
gotten
Ugly
way,
Orphan show.
He's but. Gotten way better. Don't listen to him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we did that, and then we got two other guys before. After Ugly Orphan split up, then
yeah.
we decided to do this, and then we got two other guys, but they they split, and then we found Maudie, who was just as weird as we were, so that was good.
Yeah,
nice. Where'd you guys find Maudie?
On
the side of the road,
Craigslist.
Craigslist. Okay. Yeah,
awesome.
It was Craigslist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
dude. Marketplace.
No, yeah. Random. You guys were friends before.
Marketplace. We'd never met Maddie before.
Online dating doesn't work, but for finding your bass player or your guitar player, it totally yeah. does.
Especially
or your
because
drummer.
They're very hard to find.
God. Yeah.
Yep.
Like with the Habituals, we tried finding a drummer for like a year, and I went through like four or five different people, and they all but one said, "Yeah, sure," and then I never heard from them again.
Mm. I had that's the worst. Yeah. The worst drum.
But Maddie was playing the bass. And then he wanted to move to guitar, and he knew Michael, and Michael is a guitar player who was willing to play the bass for us.
Yeah. Every fucking bass player is just a guitar player who's not doing what he wants.
That's basically what it is.
Everyone got into bass in the first place.
That's what Nick was playing bass for.
Every
that's
band,
what,
you know, did, we
everybody.
Bass
everybody wants to play the guitar, yeah, but nobody wants to play the bass. I've played the bass myself in a couple of bands, so
it's because you have to.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if you play the bass right now, and if you want to always be in a band, play the bass.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
or the drums. Or the drums.
Yeah, or the drums.
I mean, how many bands is Nick?
Well, you know what?
And how many do you play drums
here's
for?
Here's a Worst Little Podcast exclusive. I'm now in four bands because I have one with my wife. It's just the two of us.
Oh, no way. Nice. So,
well, that's cool.
There you go.
Nice. I get to play drums almost every day of the week because I got practices with my other bands. And then Mikey's on the off days that I don't do that. She's like, want to do that?
We playing? Like, yeah.
All
right.
So I get to play all the time now. It's fucking that's finally perfect. Worked out for Nick.
Nick finally gets to play every day.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, and it's just nice. A little bit. It's just, you know, you love it. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it is true.
Eric
yeah.
knows.
Yeah. I'll leave the garage door open. I don't even give a shit sometimes. I'll just, you know, that's the worst 5 minutes of their day and the best of mine. So we can agree to disagree and close the garage door.
Yeah.
I actually really love my neighbors who are musicians.
Yeah.
It's so fun. Like, you'll, like, be out on the front porch for, like, 5 minutes and you're like, is there somebody, like, playing the Fraggle Rock theme song on a trumpet.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'll be like, Nick, come here. He's like, yeah, that's what they're playing.
That's
what
fucking fuck?
Name that tune.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I get to Dogwater, I can hear a band practicing down the street. And one time I was on his porch and I could hear the UNR band practicing with the horns or
in the
marching band
the
or something.
Parking lot.
Fucking so nice. Cool.
We should have the UNR band on.
You guys would not be able to fit them in the.
We could try.
You would have to go to them, I think.
Be a backyard show for sure.
I don't know. Like the 600th episode party, we had a lot of musicians.
Yeah, I bet. I bet if we filled the whole downstairs.
How many fucking headphones would we need?
No, they'd have to just be standing there.
Yeah.
I've seen them practice, though. They all, like, stand out in a parking lot, so it's not any different than that.
Yeah, hey, exactly. Rick, when they had that concert for Hot August Nights up here, was that crazy for you? Did you watch it, like, on your roof or something?
No, every night I had to work almost every single night. But it was cool that, like, sometimes I would leave and go somewhere right after the session, and I would ride up McCarran. And being able to see that giant screen as you drove by on McCarran, I mean, that's great advertisement. It made you want to, like, pull over and walk over to it so bad. Yeah, I should have checked it out more.
Yeah, Chewy said those shows were going on to Tower of Power and somebody. And I was just thinking, oh, fuck, if you're at Dogwater, you just go on the roof.
Yeah.
it's right there.
On the secret porch. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Hang out.
Can you see, like, the fireworks and stuff, Rick?
It used to be better when I first moved in 10 years ago, but there is a tree betwixt the two houses where downtown is on the other side. Mm. And that tree has grown a lot in 10 years. So now I can't see it because there's a fucking tree there.
It's nice, sparkles through a tree.
Well, the New Year's Eve ones you can see better because the leaves are off the tree.
Oh, right.
Yeah, fall and everything.
So,
yeah.
What about balloon races?
Oh, the balloon races, you guys, we are the landing ground. Like, they seriously, when they take off from that park, they come down in our neighborhood. So
Wait, seriously. Like,
so
on
when
the street?
Yeah, oh, 100%. We've had them, like, almost land in my backyard.
I guess when you're going down, you're going down on one of those things. You can't really
exactly.
Stop.
You know what they were saying when you're going down like that.
Motherfucking fuck!
Sexually.
Yeah, and it's raining balloons here when that time comes. And you'll see him coming down and you're just like, oh my God, and you stand out on the balcony. I'll know when it's balloon races, I'll forget that it's happening and I'll be in my bathroom and I'll think, is there a gas leak in the ceiling? Because you can hear that.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear that noise through the ceiling. And then I run outside or out on the balcony and I'm like, oh, because there's this massive fucking balloon 4 feet above my house.
They're like, bro, you can land on my roof, but you got to give me a ride.
Seriously. Yeah. No, they had a tester. I don't know what it was. If it was a tester or just a rando where they were having balloons one morning, maybe a month ago. And I took a picture. The guy really almost took out our swamp cooler.
Oh,
like,
shit.
So close to taking out the swamp cooler. Went right over our house and landed right in the street in front of the house.
Would you guys go in a hot air balloon?
No.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, sure.
I think I would, if I could chain myself to the side, I don't know, I would be afraid I was going to tip over.
I'm scared of heights.
Yeah, I'm terrified of heights, but if somebody offered you a free hot air balloon ride, though, like, you got to do it.
No, yeah, I do.
No, I do not.
I would feel better if I had to pay.
You would feel better if you had to pay.
You're like, no, come on, man.
I feel more in control.
It's like getting a tattoo.
It's like paying for an airliner riding up in someone's Cessna. 100%.
Well, you gotta like pay after though.
Come on, it's free.
After you have to pay after.
When you deliver me safely to the ground.
It's by the hour.
I'm just trying to get my start.
I bet it's like pay, and all the guarantees are the same as if your friend said, "Let's go."
Yeah,
because
yeah. We all sign our life away.
You're either up for an hour or you're up for 10 minutes. Oh,
well, that's a good point. Yeah. If a hot air balloon's going to crash, I'd rather not have given him $100.
Yeah. But either way,
at least I didn't pay for this.
For the bills.
Yeah. Either way, you're out $100. So
very true.
Dead or you don't have a
good thing I say that. Nice.
You know, if I didn't see Joe Dirt, maybe I would.
Oh God.
Yeah. Oh, he's up in the air in the tooth. Not everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh
gosh.
Oh, Joe Dirtay.
Dirtay.
Well, dudes, it's time for another song. What's on deck?
Wanna do Humanity? Just go in order. Humanity.
Yeah, keep it simple.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. It's quick.
And the next time you pay $5 and support one of our local venues, you get to see this exact same set.
That's right.
Hell yeah. And if you want to hear the super, super secret Patreon show,
super
Patreon
secret
song.
With super secret passwords.
Yeah, you don't.
Patreon.com/worstlittlepodcast, and you can hear my ex-husband's social security number.
And everybody else's bank name.
All of our ATM pins.
Yeah.
But you have to guess which one's whose.
Yeah, we agree.
Yeah.
And the more, the higher tier you join in, the more likely you're going to figure it out. Just keep that in mind when you're opening your wallet.
Here's another positive song from this band. It's called Humanity is Fucked.
We'll be right back.
Fuck
it. It just gives.
I don't know what you're talking about. It makes me feel. It always makes
everything's
going to
be okay.
It's just fine. It's a power of positivity with us.
Sorry about it.
Is humanity fucked? Let's get into it.
I mean,
according to Tom, yeah.
I mean, we know how Phil
hates
parents. Yeah. Right into the podcast, listeners, if you think humanity is fucked.
Yeah, we would love your opinion on that.
Realistically, yeah, let's hear your pros and cons.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's hard for me to find a friend who thinks humanity is not fucked.
Mm. Right.
There's always some devil's advocate bullshit out there, like contrarian asshole, even though we all think everything's fucked. You're going to be like, no.
I think it's going
to
be okay.
I try to be happy and positive.
Yeah.
You know?
Well.
Bring that to the table.
What?
Once in a
definitely
while.
Definitely search for the balance.
So Monty doesn't think humanity is fucked. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe. I remember,
I remember
joining the band and reading the lyrics, you know, and I was like, okay.
I'm in.
Like, we're.
He's like, well, I'm not singing them, so I don't care.
I'm just like, hey, man, like, sure.
I just found out the lyrics when we recorded the album, so I'm a little upset still. And I'm
his arms are crossed.
Dealing with it. Yeah, I'm like very uncomfortable right
He's
now.
He's upset even though I've sent them to him.
Well, now, what do you guys stand for?
Times. What do we stand for?
Yeah. Is humanity fucked or it's not? I'm getting such mixed messages.
Being alive, I think good principles of every human being, you know, and then the people that aren't good, they need to go away.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I think.
Yes.
And I write these, so I guess I would be the one to probably talk about the lyrics. I am unfortunately a very disillusioned person, I guess, is what you would say. I don't know.
Really?
I always... Shut the fuck up.
A little pessimistic.
Such a bitch. Interesting.
I never knew that.
I'm finding so much out.
I mean, just to hang out with you, you seem pretty positive.
No, I'm not. No. But anyways...
I make him hug me every time he sees me. So.
That is actually true.
And he hates it, too.
I do.
He hates it.
No, I love it. I don't know. I'm just so disillusioned with everything. And I write, the lyrics that I write are just kind of in like the base, just worst ideas that I can think of in my mind. I try to look positive on everything. I don't want this world to be as bad as I can see it to be. But at the same time, it's hard for me to ignore everything because there's good everywhere, right? It's great.
You can find it. Yeah.
You're
can
not
find
a nihilist.
It. You can find it. Literally, I am not a nihilist.
You're just observant.
I am not a nihilist. You know, you can see good everywhere, but every time you see good, you see, and of course, you know, it's the way that things are geared. But you see so much bad, and the people who can actually control bad things, and people who can actually control this kind of stuff, have so much more sway and so much more power over what we, you know, I mean, not so much us as individuals and how we feel, but literally what affects our physical lives and the way that we have to deal with things. And the farther along we go, the farther I just have a hard time finding anything truly positive about what's going on in the physical world. Mental, I mean, you know, I hate everybody, but I don't hate everybody.
You know? I hate
everyone,
right,
but I don't, but it's not like it's a hate, like
no,
I just like Tom. Wish death upon you. It's just.
You can't say that.
I don't think you hate everyone.
I don't hate
You're just grumpy and you're not surprised when things suck.
Tom didn't get his nap today.
Like, I mean,
I didn't get my nap today, so no.
Oh, he's fired up.
It's true. I did not get my nap today. I didn't get to fall asleep when I got home.
And you're giving me the middle finger.
Every 5 seconds, too.
If you tell Tom something bad happened, he's like, yeah, he pushes his glasses up on his nose and he's like, and so what's your point?
Yeah, I mean,
fair,
but I love it though because I feel like when you know the way that Tom is, I like that in him because we write, you know, aggressive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, a lot of bands, I mean, you look through history with metal bands and you know, punk bands, I mean. They weren't in the best moods when they wrote a lot of their stuff, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I feel like you guys are a blend of hardcore punk and metal.
Yeah.
And it like blends. And and it's kind of like
yeah.
you're just like NWA. You're just reporting what you see.
Realistically, you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I feel that way a lot of the time. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we got, yeah, there's a lot of hardcore influences, especially from Eric. He mm-hmm. grew up in the hardcore scene over on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
In Buffalo. So, yeah, I mean, his drumming definitely, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
You, like, it brings that out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really, you know, I grew up a punk and I mm-hmm. am really black metal a lot too.
Mm-hmm. You know? Sin Demonic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Demonic. I think that's my solo project. I mean, yep. you got Marty over here who's been listening to metal and mm-hmm. just getting into crust punk these days a lot.
Yeah.
Which is actually
really cool.
Which is very interesting.
Didn't even know what it was, honestly, until Tom was like, hey, it's this thing. And I started checking out the bands and fell in love with Discharge and, you know.
Have you checked out any of the local, like, scene?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we play with a lot of them, you know, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah,
you know, to kind of do that, just because I'm from the Bay Area originally, so I grew up in Frisco, so you know that scene was more thrash, more metal. You know, punk was there because Rancid, but not really. It's more of a metal, area. Mm. But coming here, it's more punk. So it was definitely a transition, especially with guitars, because Tom plays more punky kind of. But we both agree with black metal though, because I love black metal, he loves black metal, so that's kind of where we kind of mesh with the music, because I'm, you know, more metal, he's punk, but, you know, that's what makes the music so much fun, because, you know, you get that hardcore punk and metal stuff. So, I mean, you know, all those great bands, you know, that do that, like,
it's really cool tendencies. Sound, man.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Yeah, it really we were, it's not even really something that we were trying to do purposefully, I want to say. I don't know. Like, we were, because, I mean, Like before Eric and I, we were in Ugly Orphans, and it was very just primal, basic punk rock, hardcore.
Which we
punk
loved.
Rock, basically. Yeah, I mean, it was, Orphans and it was great. Cool. Yeah, yeah, Ugly Orphans was,
yeah, that was,
you know,
a good band.
It was fun, you know, we had a lot of fun with it. And
I learned a lot in that band. Yeah. I learned how to be a gigging drummer in that
and
band.
And Marty, you said you were in that band too, right?
No, he wasn't.
No. Oh,
we
no.
had one other member besides us two, and it was Bill, but he had to move.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, he moved out of town. He moved up near Red Bluff. Mm. And so it kind of, like, we just kind of...
Shut up, Bill.
We didn't technically break apart, but, you know, break up, but, I mean, we're not playing.
Yeah.
And Eric and I, you know, the last show that we played, which actually, Mary Anarchy, you know, we played at the Elbow Room. That was the last show that we played.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that show, Bill was leaving, like, the next day or something like that. I mean, he was moving literally like.
But we pissed you off so bad, you quit anyway.
Like, you know, I said I'd play again if there were certain parameters met.
Neither of us had to drive. We both had Billy's girlfriend drive us to the show, so we got way too drunk to be out in public.
Fucking caked.
Played the show, and, you know, with most of my inner circle are straight edge, and I'm, you know, myself. So, yeah, we pissed Tom off pretty good. It made a debauchery of that show. Mm, and nice. and he could barely look at me when we got our shit off stage. And, you know, I want to, whatever.
Hey, that's, you're that's still friends.
What it was.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean,
no, it was a few months before.
It wasn't.
He didn't talk to me. He took his equipment home that night.
Yeah.
Because I had to. I didn't have anywhere to put it.
Well, at least you didn't shit in your hand and rub it on your tits.
Yeah. That would have actually made the show probably better.
Yeah. It was close. He was trying. He was definitely trying.
But yeah, so, I mean, and we just kind of, I don't know, I geared, because I know Eric is a drummer, because, you know, we've been playing together for a while, and I just kind of geared our sound towards what I knew his style was like, which was basically Ugly Orphans, but I knew we could take Ugly Orphans to another level, but we just never had the chance to actually get there.
Right.
But with this, we were just like, we're starting from scratch. Let's just go to that level that we know we can get to.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just started writing. So I literally just pulled out like 5 songs out of my ass one, you know, out of a week, and just sent them recorded everything, like the drum parts and the guitars, sent them off to Eric one day. I was like, here, this is what we sound like. And he was like, okay, you know, and I'm like, here, practice. I was like, listen to these and practice these. And then I show up, you know, like a month later or something. I'm like, you ready? He's like, how do those go again? I'm like, fucking Eric.
Yeah.
That's
I need to
still
hear
how it,
I need to hear how it starts before I know how it goes, so, okay?
Yeah. For sure.
So him and I, like, basically, like, just got down to, how are these parts going to sound? And we played just him and I for like, what, like 2-3 months or something
yeah,
like that?
Easily, yeah.
Before we even, I mean, we were thinking about obviously finding other people, but it was at the same time we're like, well, we should probably hash our shit out first and make it so that if we bring in somebody, it will they will know what we we're going for. And that way they can just slip in
more
and be like, okay,
identity,
the, yeah, it's like these are the chords. Yeah. This is what we sound like.
And
do
again,
this.
And again for Tom, too, to like create that vision, right?
Yeah, we had a vision.
Never do anything. And Ugly Orphans was Billy and his expression and him ripping, and it was awesome, you know, but it was all Billy. And I brought Tom on because Tom taught Billy how to play. Sort but of. I brought him in as a bass player because nobody else could follow Billy except the guy that taught him. Yeah. So now,
there you go.
But he never really had that. He had to tone, you know, dumb himself down to play to Billy. And then meanwhile, he's
which I didn't mind. Actually.
And I don't mean that in disrespect. I love Billy to this day. We could, you know, I'm not saying
shut
that,
up,
but he'll say the same thing. Tom taught me everything I know, right? Mm-hmm. So, for Tom to sit in a room and be able to just put his thoughts out, you know, yeah. and have me play against it and bounce that around. Yeah, it was at least a few months.
We yeah, it was a couple of months.
You didn't think about other people.
We found some other guys, like I said before, Marty and Michael, and they were
Punk Rock Flea Market 2 years ago.
That was when I saw you, and you guys were rad.
Yeah,
I was like,
and that was with
cool.
John, our other bass player, who was
he's
way too good to be in this band. Like, that guy was just that guy was like
next level.
Like,
what
he was,
to him? Where's he at now?
We had to leave. I had to go. I had some family problems, and so I had to take off for a while. I was like, hey, guys, I can't play. I don't know when I'm going to be able to play again, just so you know. I mean, you know, we're not quitting, but I need to take some time off for a little while. And, of course, Eric was just like, yeah, just, you know, whatever. Just let me know what's going on. But John was like, okay, fine. But then I think it was like 2 months. It was like 2 months or something like that, 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
I was finally like, hey. You know, are we ready to go? And Eric's like, yeah, you know, when are we playing? But John was like, I've already moved on. And so it was just like, okay. And
did
then
he move on to a different band in Reno?
Oh, he was already in like 4 or 5 other bands.
Yeah, he's very accomplished.
He is a very accomplished musician.
I went to
can we talk about what bands he's in?
I don't know any of the
okay.
names of any of his bands.
I still have a key to the practice
he said
area,
that,
but
one of his bands is a Bruno Mars cover band.
What?
Oh.
Yeah.
Awesome.
From what I remember, if I
let's get him on the show.
I'm actually
if I remember that correctly, and that was like you know that was like a year and a half ago. I
he's
mean,
an amazing,
probably,
amazing.
That guy's yeah. I mean,
learned a lot from drums. I mean, we sat and played drums together for a while. He plays everything. He's one of those guys.
Yeah,
you know? And so bummer that he didn't want to keep going.
But we found these
guys,
two guys
and
who
have good chemistry and it's awesome.
Who actually who fit in real touch really well.
Yeah.
We had
we've talked to all three of you guys. Well, the three on the left side of the room. Let's talk to Michael really quick.
What's your influences?
What are your
What's your deal, Michael?
What's your deal, Michael?
What's my deal?
What brings you to the Failed Fates experience?
Yeah, like what kind of have you been in bands before? What kind of music are you used to playing? Is this kind of metal-ish vibe?
Yeah, this is like the heaviest band I've been in. Like, you know, I grew up in a really rural, remote area, so like, I didn't really know a lot of other bands.
Yeah, what's
where was
hometown?
It? Oh, shout out to Greenville, California.
Hell yeah, I love Greenville. Okay. Except now it's all burned to
it's
so sad. I worked there. I worked at the hospital there.
Oh,
when
really?
When I was a baby nurse, yes, I worked there for a long time.
Oh,
I was actually like. When they closed that place, I helped like load the last ambulance up with the patients that went to Quincy.
Well, maybe knew my mom. She was the receptionist.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, Leona. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Small world.
Yeah.
Right. Always
this was like 2007 or 8 or some shit. This was a long time ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So Greenville. Yeah. So did you like, what kind of music were you listening to in Greenville and how did you learn to play guitar and then bass and what
you know, my dad, he wasn't like super like religious or anything, but he's like, he wasn't really for like rock music, you know. So I grew up on hearing a lot of like James Brown and
nice.
Like my dad's
that's
stuff,
cool,
you know, it's
cool.
Cool. And then my sister showed me Linkin Park, you know, and I'm just like, what's this rock music?
And to start there,
you know
wow, you had kinda, so much.
Wait, how old are you
right now? 32.
Oh, okay. All right. So yeah, I'm 10 years older than you. So yes, your sister would have. How old was your sister? Because when I was like 18, 19, Linkin Park was my shit. Oh yeah, my God.
It might have huge. Might have been around that time.
Yeah.
So. It's like, unless they're like, you know, already popular, like I never really got to hear of many bands, you know?
Well, so that's just kind of like, how it was being small town and yeah. like the time it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like the years and stuff, like you would have been starting to get into music. Like the internet wasn't what it was.
No.
Or wasn't what it is now.
Yeah.
We didn't have Spotify. And if you didn't have a record store in your town, you were, you know.
Screwed.
You yeah. listen to whatever was you on the radio.
Unless you had Napster.
Much. Well, even yeah. then, though. So there was this random period of time.
Napster.
There was this random period of time where, like, all this, like, pirating sites kind of got taken off the internet, and you yep. had to have money to actually, like, download yep. MP3s.
Oh, yep. from iTunes.
It was, like, the yeah. dark ages. It was yeah. in between Napster and all that shit.
I love
and
streaming. Napster.
It yeah. was just right, this yeah, little absolutely. Sweet, not sweet spot, horrible spot.
I remember yeah.
that. Deprived a lot of people of good music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. So. And all I remember from that time was Lars sitting in front of Congress.
Like, yeah, oh my God.
Testifying.
My yeah, pool I, is just a little bit sued. Smaller than it should be.
You got sued.
I did.
Monty got sued.
I got
tell
a,
us about
I got
this.
A letter.
Monty got, Monty got a cease and desist, from,
cease and desist
from Metallica.
From Metallica.
Yep. Oh, no, I got it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's not, right. yeah. apparently, like the, it's not a joke.
Yeah.
Was it like the South Park episode?
Kind of. But yeah, I got a letter in the mail because I was
guys,
downloading.
I feel so bad. I got one from Hall & Oates.
No way.
Did you really?
It wasn't one from Hall & Oates. It was seven from Hall & Oates.
That's shit. Actually, that, I feel like that's more clout than getting it from yeah. Lars.
I don't know. No,
I do.
It's not as cool.
Like not getting it from cool. Lars, I mean, you said it to everybody, yeah. but getting it from Hall & Oates, you're just like, wow. And seven at
did
the same time.
Did they just send
like,
you
whoa.
A letter for every song they figured you'd download? They,
yeah, but what I figured out was that my, they, and then they were always like, and they were always like it would also, I also got the letter several times that was like, someone
hey, asshole!
In your house
yeah.
is downloading that's... music illegally and they need to understand that they should stop doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But somewhere along
someone.
The way,
and sadly, like my parents knew that's it was awesome. Me that was doing it.
Oh shit! Did they turn you in?
No, and then it would say,
yeah,
it would say,
do, yeah.
it would say, click on this thing, and then you go to this thing, and they were like, if you admit who you are and yep. give us $20, then we'll like drop this right
we'll
now.
It was
like,
wow.
I still have the letter on,
but what
on,
I
in a frame.
Please,
but what I realized
yes,
is that the cable company was protecting me. They didn't tell them who I was, and as long as I didn't click on that thing, they
oh,
were
yeah.
not going to know who I was.
Wow.
I got one for Michael Jackson, for sure.
Oh.
I never got one. My brother used
one.
Dude,
what album? What
you guys,
album?
This is smarter than
pretty
me.
Young thing. So Thriller?
There you go. Mm.
That is
yeah,
his most kid-touchy song
yeah, that
ever.
Would, that would definitely...
I don't think we ever got any, but my brother would, like, because he was, like... a computer genius. I don't even fucking know what he did. I don't.
We was probably
computers.
Using a VPN. We weren't
he
that
must
smart.
Have been, but this was like a long time ago, like 2001 to 2006 ish,
yeah.
2004 ish. That he was doing this. I would just tell him what songs I wanted, and he would burn me a CD. And he would always put, no matter what the fuck kind, it could have been Backstreet Boys. He would have burned for me, and there was an AC/DC song in the middle.
Yeah. That sounds like my dad
perfect.
Made the mix.
That's,
my dad
that's
would
Eric's
do that.
Favorite band.
Perfect.
I mean, like, just
that's
to
Eric's.
Fuck with
that
you.
Is Eric's favorite
Eric's
band.
AC/DC. He loves them.
Yeah. But does that mean that Michael Jackson and Metallica and Hall & Oates are the dark triad of the old era?
I think so.
Yeah.
Part of them, at least. Okay. Yeah, they might be definitely high up on the ladder. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Because I stole a lot of Weird Al Yankovic. He never sent me one letter.
No, man. He's probably like, thanks, man.
Yeah. I downloaded everything.
You just played in State Line.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I got into like extreme metal even. Like I remember the moment I got into like extreme stuff. My friend had a Cannibal Corpse shirt on. I had no idea what it was. I thought it was a horror movie, like picture or whatever. And I asked him like what his shirt was about. It was the Eaten Back to Life shirt with the zombie eating his hand.
Mm.
And he's like, no, it's a band. And I was like, what? Weird. Like, that's crazy. So went home, got on Napster, downloaded Cannibal Corpse, and like my brain was fried because I did not I could not comprehend what was playing because the heaviest stuff at that point to me was like Metallica.
Yeah.
And they just sued you know, so they're bitches.
Yeah.
Yeah. They sued me, yeah. So yeah. So I was pretty much done. And what sucks too is I never downloaded an album from Metallica. It was only their live stuff that I downloaded because I loved their live sound.
God, that even feels like free. That even feels like
yeah. So I had all their records on vinyl. I had all their records on CD. I had a couple cassettes. So like I bought all their stuff,
all
but
supporting.
Then they sued me because I downloaded like their live show from like 92.
Was it a bootleg or was it an official release?
Because back then it was just bootleg stuff. Because they, you know, they had like the S&M album they did, you know, and then they did a couple live stuff. But I mean, I was just downloading random shows that were like uploaded on there.
And the Grateful Dead did it for free for years and it didn't hurt a thing. Yep. Made them huge, right? So free music.
Yep. Metallica, go fuck yourself.
Honestly,
let's bring this full circle.
The fact is,
come on the show. I dare you. Metallica, I want to straighten a couple things out with you guys.
The funny part is that Metallica is not a terrible band. They're a good band. Right. But the only thing we remember them for is this.
Yeah. Is being dicks about people stealing their music.
Shutting and cutting their hair short or whatever.
Yeah.
Dude, we could go back in time. We could go back in time and just be like, just relax. In a few years, there's going to be streaming. You're still not going to make any money, but at least it'll be legal.
You will literally be the biggest band in the world.
Yeah. It's fine.
Don't worry about it.
And Michael, you're going to be dead.
And it's funny too with Metallica.
Oh my god!
It's funny with Metallica too because nobody's ever mad at like Kirk Hammett or
no, because it was Lars.
They put Lars. They kicked Lars.
Lars is the guy.
Lars is the business guy.
He did that thing. What was it? It was on MTV. It was the MTV Awards where he did that thing with I want to say one of the Wayans brothers or something, where it was a total anti-Napster commercial in the middle of the MTV Music Awards.
Oh shit!
Yep. So cool.
Like it's like, oh, well, we're just sharing. Oh, well, how about if I just share your computer and throws like a Napster sticker on it and grabs it and takes it out? Here, I'll show your girlfriend. He slaps a sticker on her butt and walks out with her or some shit like that.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it was just...
It was like a smear campaign.
Yeah, it was a total smear campaign against Napster. Totally. So, yeah,
you guys
everybody
remember
remembers
those commercials when you would like rent a video at Blockbuster or whatever the fuck. It's like, you wouldn't steal a computer.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't steal a car.
The anti-pirating one.
Yeah. I could do it for free and nobody would know.
Dude,
I would
download a car. Yeah, exactly.
I lived with a dude that's all he did all day was pirate movies and music all day. His computer would be on all day.
His multiple things,
downloading all day.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Yeah. He's like, what? You know, it's, what else am I going to do? I'm like, I don't know. Get the fuck out of the house. How about that?
That's what we need is somebody's
Plex
log.
That's right.
Go for a hike.
No, he never did. He wouldn't even go grocery shopping. He'd like have other people like deliver it for him. I'm like, dude.
But
you get
he always rewinded his cassettes.
But yeah, never... really. That's where. That's where the first time I ever. That's the first time I ever saw Metalocalypse. So you know, I have to thank him for that.
That's why bands don't really care about selling records anymore, you know, when it comes to because you can't, you don't make money. I mean, you can sell like vinyl because people like vinyl.
I'll always love vinyl.
People will collect vinyl.
I just wanted to contrast it with Trent Reznor, who got in trouble because the record label was jacking up the price of the whatever Nine Inch Nails album to like $20.
Yeah,
and then his label dropped it because he got on stage. He's like, "Hey, I tried to get him to lower it, but they won't. So steal it. You guys got to steal it."
It's just like, I mean,
and
that's
that
why,
worked out fine for him.
Yeah, it worked out great.
He's got plenty of money.
It's so crazy expensive to go to shows now.
Yeah.
Because bands now are living off of, you know, ticket sales and merch.
Yeah.
And venues are taking merch cuts now, which is so my parents
love Metallica. They went to see Metallica in San Francisco a couple months ago and they brought me a tour shirt because I couldn't go. My tour shirt was $150.
What?
$150 for a Metallica tour shirt.
What?
Bullshit.
No.
Yeah. $150.
See, no.
I would
cut
that band out of principle
that's
at
horrible.
This point.
Yeah. Lars,
that.
You need to come on the show.
Well, and it's crazy because they're not the only ones that do it because Tool does like exclusive shirts.
Their hoodies?
They do, they do exclusive shirts. So they don't have like a tour shirt with like all the dates in the back like most bands do. Tool will have like an LA shirt that's only exclusive to LA.
Yeah.
And they charge like $175 for a shirt and like $250 for a hoodie.
Unless that money is going to charity, fuck that.
And then their fans are on eBay.
If the profits go to charity and Tool wants to do something good for the world, fantastic. But it's not.
If you know the merch guy is driving a Range Rover and going on vacation for 6 months out of the year, then great. You know, he's making his money. You know what I mean? Like, how could you justify $175?
Well, and what's crazy is like I remember watching this YouTube channel, I don't remember who it was, but he said that bands now are traveling T-shirt salesmen.
Well, yeah, no,
and that kind of makes sense because like that's where their income comes from, and that's why like shirts are.
That's how we made most of our money.
Yeah,
that's how we were able to pay for the recording.
Yeah,
was T-shirts.
Yeah, with T-shirt sales. Yeah,
seriously.
Yeah,
and hoodies.
You know what? I don't mind.
And socks.
That's
he's wearing
a rat.
Hoodie. He's like, look at my hoodie. Yeah.
For small bands, socks. For local bands,
no
for whatever, like. Metallica and Tool and whoever the fuck else, like, if you're signed to a label and you have money in the bank, you can afford to buy enough stock that it costs you pennies. It doesn't cost them anything really to make these shirts.
But I mean, but
local bands
really...
to make sure it's so expensive. There,
but there's no pro, there's like a couple dollar profit margin.
Yeah, I would pay whatever for a local band t-shirt.
The max you can do is what I'm from Mary Anarchy's in the past. Oh, so yeah, I tried sat and figured
and
it out.
Those were good shirts.
The
I
max, if you do the best, you're going to make double what you spent on the t-shirts.
If somebody's donating their time to make them,
and that's no more profit than exactly 50%
more. And that's kind of what we do with our shirts too. Like, what do we charge for our shirts?
Well, we got
$20?
We got a really good deal for our first couple runs, and then now we're back to like off the street price, like whatever.
But
we just said double our money. I think there were $7 bucks a shirt or something. Is that right?
I can't remember.
Yeah, we were paying pretty low. My brother actually worked for
but
a company
that
made them.
We did
so
a big run, too. We did a big run, and we got stickers
do,
and a banner and hoodies. And
it's hard to move shirts. I don't know. I guess $20 is a nice cut and dry price.
I think that's even cheap. I think $25 is a good price for a shirt. $50 bucks for a hoodie. Honestly, hoodies.
If you're a touring band,
this guy, he's trying to give away for cost. I mean, he doesn't
I was not
really
trying to give away from cost.
Well, like you want to make your money back.
$10.
Tom's like, t-shirt, $2.
But he's gonna give this. Yeah.
I was trying to make it so that, I mean, we would make a little profit plus make our money back.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, I was like, who the fuck are we?
Exactly. It's advertising.
We're fucking failed
fates.
Who gives a shit? If we make our money back, we can make more fucking shirts.
Right?
You know, nobody gives a shit about
us. Be nice
Get
to
it out there as much as we can. I am being nice to me. I am being nice to
me. Yeah. So the t-shirts
I'm realistic. I'm like, okay, I'd love to sell a shirt for like, you know,
$10.
Can I buy a t-shirt?
That's what I wanted to sell them for because we would be making profit
Tom will let
at
you
the
buy
same
it.
Time.
Yeah, so I said Tom could sell the t-shirt for $10 if I could sell the hoodies for $60. And he said,
that's
no.
what hoodies cost. Bro.
I said, never mind. Sell the shirts. Yeah. I think we sold the shirts for like
$15.
Hoodies were like $25 or $30 or something.
I think we did.
$30 online.
Yeah. It's a screaming
Well,
deal.
That's why like hoodies you know, are the
yeah,
ultimate.
Like it was $25 at the
that's
show
you
if you came to
shows.
See us.
Yeah,
that's
like
hoodies,
the status symbol merch.
Yeah. If you came to the show, it was like $15 for a shirt and $25 for a
I went to see
if you got it online, it was like $20 and $30.
Do you guys have any hoodies on you?
Huh?
Yeah, right?
No.
Well, one's on Eric, but you'd have to probably take it
off. That's all right. I'm getting a ride home, and I'll leave naked. It's okay. I'll leave it here.
How much for your shorts?
No, those are going to cost you.
Those
are
nice. I like those tans.
There is no sale on
what is that? Is that taupe?
It's khaki.
It's disgusting.
There you go. They're khaki.
Hoodies are so expensive, though. Like, really.
They are.
Like, at shows. Mm-hmm. I went to see the Melvins and Napalm Death and. They were here in May, and Napalm Death's hoodies were $110.
Holy shit! Okay, that's a little.
And
much.
I'm like, dude, I'm like, I mean, you know, Napalm Death is great.
Did they have like shit down the sleeve?
It literally had the little skeleton, like you know, their logo, like Life logo in
the
chest.
Boob.
Yeah, and then on the back it said Napalm and had the skeleton like Grim Reaper, and then Death on the bottom, and that was it. I mean, it was nothing spectacular. It was a pretty generic hoodie, and it was $110.
Was it a zip-up at least?
It was a pullover.
Oh, fuck that.
That's why I love punk bands.
Yeah, it's like, dude. Like,
I've seen punk bands like MDC or Reagan, you know, like
I've never spent more than $60
for a hoodie. There's a $25 hoodie, or a $7 shirt, and they're breaking out shit and giving away like $5, 7 inches, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what I love about that.
Yeah,
the old punk rockers that still, they're like, oh, I found this in my grandma's basement here, man. $8, you know?
Yeah, and I love Napalm Death, but they're on this kick now where like their shirts are organic. And they're like clean materials, so now they're $65 instead of $45.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so, you know, $300 for an outfit.
Well, if they're imported, now they're like 15%
with organic
more
materials.
Tariffs.
Oh, no, we're not getting on that.
No, we're not. We should do another song, right?
Definitely time for another song.
Which one do you hear?
Blood.
Yeah, Blood Is on Your Hands. That's my personal favorite.
Thank you.
Fuck yeah.
Damn. Very good.
Nice. Oh, I like that. That was sludgy and doomy. Jeez. I loved it.
That's the song that everybody says that's like Sabbath-y.
Yeah.
We always get that all the time. We always get that. That's like, that's where the doom comes in.
Reminds me of Ozymandias. It is have you guys played with Ozymandias?
We did.
Oh,
yeah, we did.
Yeah, you guys would be good fit. Yeah, that makes sense.
We love them so much.
Yeah.
Great band.
Is that Dally?
No, we played with them at Virginia Brew.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
At the Doomfest. That's right.
Yeah. Ah, yes. Yeah, I don't get out enough anymore. Fuck. I miss them. I think I was on call that week, and that sucked a lot.
Yeah, they're cool peeps.
Because, I mean, Danny's in Elko now, and, like...
Yeah,
they're playing a show.
Ozymandias shows are few and far between.
I think they're playing a show. Yeah,
they just did a show. Yes, yeah, in Elko, like, a couple days ago.
Was it a couple days
ago? They just played, like, literally, like, Sunday.
In Elko.
That was a fun time. Yeah. That was a really good time.
I really want to make it to Elko. Everybody tells me what a scene they have. They really do have a good music scene. They've got some good venues, or at least one good venue in Elko.
That's
cool.
We should actually take a train there.
How long does it take to get the train there?
Right.
I don't know. It's like a couple hours or something.
Fuck.
It's a couple hours. Fast. Drive, right?
I want to do that.
Yeah,
me too.
God, that'd be so great.
Worst Little Podcast field trip.
On the train.
Can we record an episode on the train?
Fuck yes.
That would be sick.
That would work.
That would be cool.
We've done a travel episode or two before.
We have.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Okay.
Well, it's about time to wrap the show up. But before we go, I want to talk about some awesome things coming up in Reno. We have this Friday the Off the Rails series, Reno Under the Arch. The bands are Family Worship Center and Subtle Lovers. Our good friend Pete's band from Moondog Matinee is in Subtle Lovers and Family Worship Center, which, what a name for a fucking band. I thought this was at a church. I'm like, why is Subtle Lovers playing at a church? But no, that's the name of the band. They're from Portland. They're awesome. I looked them up. And then also, is this Friday? Yeah, it's also Friday. I have tickets for it that I need to give away, so... if you're listening and you want these tickets, hit me up. It is Angry Samoans with Machine Gun Vendetta, Lincoln Skins, and Felipe Indejo.
Damn.
But what I really, really want to plug and what I'm super excited for is Jen Scafidi is playing in
Robopocalypse.
And
September 2nd.
September 2nd. Are you going to go, Rick?
I want to go so bad. I have a band
go so
that
bad
night.
Too.
I'm not so. It fucks up everything every time.
I'm on call and it's
the
a
fact
Tuesday.
That I,
like,
oh,
fuck.
Jesus.
I have a kid in school and it's
God,
a weeknight.
But it's going to be so killer.
I know.
And
I'm
guys,
so proud of her. We love you, Jen. That's amazing what you're doing.
Definitely. I'm just like
Puppeteers
so
for
fucking
fears.
Sad.
And doors at 6 and then Jen plays
go.
A set at
6:30. Oh, does she hit you up too? Yeah. Yeah.
And it's Puppeteers for Fears, Robopocalypse, the musical.
Yes.
And tickets are available online if you search that.
Yes. And then I know, well, it's actually like, I guess September 1st is a Monday. It's Labor Day. But do you guys remember Corey Elba's band?
Yes. How could we forget?
Yes. So Layla, the bass player, it's her 10-year cancer-free anniversary.
Hey. Oh,
and
hey.
They are playing in Truckee. Let me find the venue at the Good Wolf. So Corey Elba, the Scandals, and Layla is doing her solo project up there too. Corey Elba, they're the first band who did a vinyl of all podcast songs, of all live podcast recordings,
so
which is
fucking
really
rad.
Fucking rad.
Yeah, that is cool.
It was such a fun fucking show.
The artwork and the packaging, it was all great.
If anybody can make it up there on the 1st, on Labor Day,
dude,
to Truckee,
so
go see it. It's so fucking fun.
She plays drums and sings. It's punk rock. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, about her life, and it's just really great. And she's just super young. I don't know how old she is, but she looks like she's just got out of school, out of high school.
Everybody looks like that to me.
That's true, me too.
Once
that's
you're
actually
like...
more about us than it is about them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And her dad was an old punk rocker from the East Coast, Rob Elba. He was in, do you remember?
I don't remember.
Damn it. But some cool band that we heard of.
Really?
He has a podcast you were on, weren't you?
Yeah, I was actually on his podcast. That record got me high.
Yeah.
And he plays guitar for her.
He plays guitar for her. Yeah. And
so he's
we're not just
up
talking about him. Randomly.
They were kind of his band. Like played a lot of big shows. Played CBGBs and all that.
Right from that era
in the 80s. So
yeah,
when it was alive and kicking. Well, it still is alive and kicking. That's the great thing about this music.
Yeah.
I saw something really cool today about you, Nick.
What's that?
That Roxy Colley is playing Loud as Folk at the Nevada Museum of Art. Yeah,
that's right. We are.
So funny, we were both going to say the same thing.
Oh, we mentioned that last week.
Oh, we did
for the first time. Yeah,
oh, I wasn't here. I'm not here enough. God damn it.
So, yeah, Spike McGuire's hosting us, The Loudest Folk, first Thursday at the Nevada Museum of Art. It starts at 5, goes 5 to 7. We're working hard on our 90-minute set. We're like doing like 22 or 23 songs that night. So,
damn.
Yeah,
it's really a good time. And, I mean, if really, really, if you can make it down there, I know it sounds, I mean, it's at a museum and whatever, it's in the daytime, but it's so fucking fun. It's like on the rooftop. And
all ages,
so many people. I always run into awesome friends, and I'm definitely making it to this one. I don't make it to all of them anymore because that's early for me. I'm still working usually, but I'm gonna work like a half day that day. I'm gonna
And what's the actual date?
It's the first Thursday, which is
September 4th.
Let me pull it up here.
I can't believe we're plugging something we don't know what day it is.
Right?
It's the 4th.
The 4th, yeah.
So like when, next Thursday.
And it's free for members of,
a week from Thursday.
Of the Nevada Museum and $15 for everybody else.
Which is just a steal.
Nothing.
And that includes your museum admission too. So if you want to just like go check out the museum and then go upstairs and... Yeah,
that is
and
so worth $15. Cool.
And
so
you could come witness Margie try not to curse on the radio.
Oh shit!
Yay!
Wait, is it recorded for the radio?
Yeah, K Wink broadcasts it live.
I didn't know God. That.
Yeah, it's freaking crazy.
And the set starts at what time?
A lot of pressure. 5 to 7, September 4th. That's a Thursday.
Margie's so sweet and like demure. You wouldn't think she curses, but she does a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
we have a lot of curse words in our set.
Oh, yeah. But most of those, John
sporadic,
wrote.
You know, it's not all the time, but this song has two. This one has one. This one's called Fuck You. So.
We're not playing this one.
Yeah, that one's not on the list.
Fuck you. Show.
Yeah, you
were. You.
You were thinking it's like fucking shithole.
I was DJing on K-Wink, and I played a song, Blind. And it had a rap verse in it. I think I broadcast the N-word like 64 times.
Well, did you get sued? Did you get a letter?
I did not get sued.
So the FCC Michael Jackson, wasn't right? Listening
to
that.
No, they were not. But Tom,
allegedly.
But Tom, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Well, right on, you guys.
And Wanton Dooley's playing this thing called the Rock. Rocktoberfest?
Oh,
Punk Rocktoberfest.
Yes. And Carson at Shoe Tree, right?
Yeah.
That's fucking Andy's thing.
I got to get down there.
I want to play one of those Shoe Tree shows.
Yeah, you should. Hit up. Do you know Andy?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Hit him up.
Yeah,
I'm
man.
Sure. Yeah. They're a good time. I'm definitely going to be there for that.
They always just look so damn hot.
Yeah, we're going to.
But it's October.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh, yeah, true.
Way better.
Yeah, so it can't be that bad.
Yeah, plug in our show. We're playing September 20th.
That's right.
Oh, where?
Alturas.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah,
with
we're playing
who?
With we're going to be playing with Parabellum. They're the guitar player's a friend of mine. They're from SAC.
Mm.
And then they're all the bands that are coming up are from Cali. So,
okay.
One's from like another one's from
Vacaville
and then Sun Valley. So, it's all just metal bands.
It's metal.
They're all they're all pretty good. So.
Yeah, Dread, Mercy Kill, us and Parabellum.
Yeah. When you're plugging the other bands, be sure and be off mic.
Dread.
We'll share the poster.
Mercy Kill. Parabellum. Yeah. And us.
We all know you're looking at your
it'll be a good time. Come
sorry,
out.
Rick. I had to read.
It's a Saturday?
It's a Saturday.
It's a Saturday. So,
first show back after my my new wrist. So let's go.
Yeah.
It's been a minute, so.
All right, you guys.
What's the last song we're going to hear?
Slipping.
Slipping into darkness.
Right on. And let's see. Let me give Rory Dowd a shout out. My homie. We played the 10-year anniversary on Saturday. It was super rad.
Of Wanton Dooley. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and it was fun. And Spike's birthday. And, like our friend Stacy Toll from Gunshot showed up. And
no
Hudson.
Way.
And a bunch of bands we were in together. And
she came down from
Lazy
Oregon?
Universe, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. And her mom's in Carson, so she goes sees her mom and comes sees the rock, her friend's birthday and rock and roll and stuff. She's so fun. She really is the life of the party, you know. She's the first kid on the dance floor, and everybody else is all, oh, okay, I guess we're going to dance then.
I'll still never forget just randomly running into her in Portland that one time. I was like, what?
That's so cool.
What? Yeah.
All right, for the Reverend Rory Dowd, for the Lord Strice, thank you for your services. And for everybody else on the Worst Little Podcast, I'm Nick Ramirez saying life is short, and we love you. Thank you, Failed Fates.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On the Worst Little Podcast, we're talking out of our ass. We'll be right back.
Disturbed people often become easier to manage.
It's Dogwater Studios.
Frightened and bewildered as he obviously is, the more he is hurt, the more he will struggle.
Told ya!